Before we pray, I would like to read Psalms 86 in view of the year that has started and is already advanced. Psalms 86. Bow down thine ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name for evermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it, and be ashamed. Because thou, Lord, hast holpen me and comforted me. Let us stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, from the bottom of my heart, from the depth of our soul, we all heard this psalm. We read it. We prayed it. From the deep, we call together unto thee and ask you that this year will bring a turnaround in your kingdom, that something very new takes place, that your word reaches the ends of the earth, and your message the peoples under heaven. Faithful God, you have ways and means. You are on the throne. No one is like you. May you today take away all unbelief from us, giving us new confidence and new faith through your word and inspired by your spirit. Lord, we thank you that we could come to know you. We thank you that you revealed yourself to us. O you, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you are the great I Am, who appeared unto Moses in the fire, and to the children of Israel in the light and in the cloud. And you became man, and you returned into your glory. And then you appeared to Saul in the same light on the way to Damascus. You are the great I Am. Our life is yours. To you belongs our trust. We are fully yours, because you have fully given yourself for us. Faithful Lord, confirm thy word. Glorify thy name. Let us know your ways. This we pray with all our heart and with all our soul, so that we know that we found grace in thy sight. We thank you especially that we don't need to theorize, or that we have to explain things, but that we may believe, as the scripture has said, so that rivers of living water can flow. Dear Lord, take all disturbing things out from our hearts, out from the thoughts, out from our lives, out from this building. Sanctify this site through your holy presence, and let us be aware of that you are the one who speaks with us. Bless especially all who could not come, Lord. Be nigh to them, and bless all who are here today for the first time. Dear Lord, stretch forth thine arm and do something by which your name is glorified and honored. To you we commit this service. Bless the lips that proclaim your word. Bless the hearts that receive it. Take away all tiredness. Take everything from us, O Lord, so that we are fully awake, hearing your word, that we go along on the inside, thanking you for it. Blessed and praised be thy holy name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It is a great privilege that we can be here again. In all these years, I waited not so long, like since the last service until this one. It seemed as if worlds would be between, or months, so long it lasted. But we are grateful to the Lord that he kept us, each one, right there where he is. And we are again grateful to him that we can be here today to hear his precious word, letting us be blessed anew. I would like to read from the Holy Scripture some places, so that we are newly strengthened in the faith, in the confidence to our Lord, being settled, grounded in the absolute conviction that God keeps what he promises, that he brings to pass what he intended to do, and that we were not called to look on circumstances, but to the Lord, as if we would see Him, counting Him faithful that He stands to that what He promised. I have on my heart from Moses and connected with it from that what God has done for Israel. I would like to show it to us briefly, that He walks the same way with the church and keeps His faithfulness to those who come to Him, who serve Him, who believe Him, and who follow Him. From Deuteronomy chapter 1, I read verse 21. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 21. Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged.
Fürchtet euch nicht und seid unverzagt.
Here it stands out to us that it was not said that God will give the land, but that He has given it already. They haven't been in the land yet, but by faith they have heard the words of God. Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Not that He will give it one day, but He has given it. Why? Because of the promise which the Lord has given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the promises of God are yes and amen. We can rely on it. In Isaiah, in chapter 53, it could be already said then, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised and smitten for our sickness. The chastisement was laid on Him, so that we might have peace, and by His stripes we are healed. With God, all of the plan of redemption is a completed fact. We hear the words of God, we receive them, we believe them, and take that what God has said to be true, and consider Him as faithful, that He stands to that what He promised. It says here so wonderfully, go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. To this sermon today, I would like to give the title, Fear Not. If God is on our side, and if we are on His side, if His Word is in us, and we are in His Word, if His promises are in us, and we in His promises, then we don't need to fear. Then we don't have to be discouraged. Not by our own strength, but looking up to God, our Lord, who will bring everything to pass wonderfully. Let us read in Deuteronomy 1, verse 29 to 32. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. I have underlined this. Here it is about the remembrance to the mighty exodus of the people of Israel from Egypt that took place visible by divine intervention. The Lord gives the promise, and we are told here, he shall go before you, and he himself shall fight for you. If this happens, then we, in the confidence to him, can remain very calm and say, Lord, go you before us. We are ready to follow you, for we believe what you said and promised. Then it continues, the Lord thy God bear thee as a man does bear his son in all the way that ye went until ye came into this place. God doesn't only bear a certain distance, he carries us all the way until we have reached that place that he promised to us. He went to prepare a place for us, and he will come again to take us unto himself. He carried his people until they reached where he wanted them to be. The same happens with the New Testament church. God carries us. God strengthens us. God takes care for us. He lets us know his ways and reveals his doing among his people. As then in Egypt, visibly, God's help came, so we are now longing for it, that the kingdom of God is not only preached in words, but visible and sensible, is confirmed by God and thus legitimized. But then it continues here in verse 32, yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God. May we by all what God has done, be it through the ministry of Brother Branham, be it by the sermons which were translated, be it by the proclamation, whatever, may we through all that receive every time anew a strengthening of God and be grateful for that, that his Spirit is working in us. God wants that we trust him. God wants that we believe him, and he can work it by his grace in all of us. Let us read from Deuteronomy 20. Deuteronomy 20, verse 3 and 4. Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint, fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. What a promise that the Lord has given here. Go into battle. But it was the Lord Himself who fought for them. The victory comes from our God, but it comes for our sake, so that His word is confirmed and His name is honored. Let not your hearts faint. We are all just humans, and we are subject to the ups and downs of life. Not even the dearest child of God is spared of it. But one thing remains forever anchored in our hearts. This is the absolute certainty that we were redeemed and remain God's own possession for time and for eternity, and that He has taken the responsibility for us. We are ready to go into battle and have received here the promise, let not your hearts faint, fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is He that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies and to give you the victory. This is something wonderful. Let us take it today as the New Testament Church from the hand of God by faith. Let us have confidence. Let us leave all despondency, which is always connected with unbelief, behind us. Let us trust the Lord all over again, knowing that He goes before us. He has won the victory already. He came forth as the victor of Calvary. And I said it to the Lord. We like to sing the chorus, Jesus is the victor, but we wait for it, that this victory of God, of Calvary, is manifested among the redeemed, that all the enemies are made His footstool, and that the Lord has triumphed over all of them, and we through Him. So, He will fight for us with our enemies. Such a battle is a nice thing when we all have to form up to go now into battle, and the knees of the one are shaking a bit, and suddenly the captain comes and finishes the battle for the whole army. Just like David at that time faced the challenge of Goliath and could no longer hear it, that the people of the Lord were made fun of, and by it the name of the Lord, in him the faith arose, and he went there, and as an individual he won the victory for all of Israel. In this way, Jesus Christ, the Son of David, as an individual, won the victory for all of the people of God, namely on the cross of Calvary, via Gethsemane, and then to the resurrection. It cannot be otherwise than that this victory of our God has to become reality in the Church of the Living God. I have given you the land. It is yours. Possess it. I go before you to fight for you, to give you the victory. What a word of our God! Jesus has done it. Now our faith has to set in without any but and if, and it must be the scriptural faith, namely that faith that is the victory which has overcome the world, so that we can honor God through faith, not only with prayers that come over our lips, but in the deed and in truth, experiencing in what kind of way God testifies of himself. Let us read from the same chapter, from Deuteronomy 20, verse 8. Deuteronomy 20, verse 8. And the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, What man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. This was necessary. It was necessary that all those who had no courage, that they remain behind so that they don't discourage others. They could go home through despondency and faint-heartedness. We can come to nothing at all. God must give us, through the Word and through the Spirit, new strength and confidence, and we must learn to not look or build on us, but on the Lord. He who is faint-hearted, he who is coward, let him return home, so that he doesn't discourage the others also. Oh, that God could bring us to the point that we could encourage one another in faith, that our conversations would be filled with faith, so that one could serve the other. If a low threatens to set in, and this I said already before, this happens to all of us, but in our hearts, we are convinced that the Lord will have his way with his people until the end, and that he will glorify his name once more, and that he will confirm his word once more as truth. If any is among you who is fearful and faint-hearted, let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. Dear brother, dear sister, dear friends, how are we classified by God? How is it with our courage, with our confidence, with our trust, with our faith? What comes forth from our heart as a deep conviction? May it be the confession of the Word of God, that the Lord, before his return, calls out a church from all peoples, tongues, and nations, a bride who is adorned, to then go and meet the bridegroom, a full restoration of that what God promised must and will take place, as certain as the mouth of the Lord has said it. And why should I doubt what the Lord promised? Why should I be faint-hearted despite of all circumstances? The circumstances change, and people also. Their opinions are from today to tomorrow totally different. But God does not change His word. God doesn't change His will. His word is settled forever in heaven. He decided and He carries it out. And in this everlasting word of God, our faith and confidence is anchored. May we today learn from this lesson to again trust the Lord, and with every brother and every sister with whom we speak, that we speak by faith with them to serve one another, to help one another, and to strengthen each other. Let us read in Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, verse 8 to 10. Deuteronomy 28. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And He shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto Himself, as He has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in His ways. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. What a wonderful promise! Then all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord. What kind of longing comes up in us here? That God may let something so powerful and supernatural happen, so that all peoples, so that all churches see that the Lord has His church on earth. His people who hear His voice, His covenant people who believe and trust Him and are ready to walk with Him on His ways. Here it was about that God would bless all endeavors. And when I think on that, what is before us, a worldwide task, maybe the greatest task of all times, then connected with it, the longing arises in us. O God, confirm Thy word, confirm Thy people. Let it be manifested that You walk amidst Your people, that we are sons and daughters of God, and that He, the Lord, can work in our midst as He intended to do. From that, what happened in the Old Testament, we can see the analogy and know what is happening in the New Testament. And I'm really interested in nothing else but only in that what God promised, only in that what God is doing according to His word among His people. But believe me, it will go beyond that not only the people of God which were gathered already are blessed. God will let go forth the last coal unto the ends of the earth, so that the still outstanding harvest is brought in before the collapse comes. God will take care for it. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. There will have to be a redeemed multitude here on earth who experience the sanctification in the truth through the word by faith, to be then established and lifted up by the Lord as a sanctified people unto himself, who are worthy of his name and of his word and of his blessings, so that his name is honored and glorified by us. God really needs us, but we must be available for him. Here, we have read it. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God. And then comes to it. Then all people of the earth shall see that thou art rightfully called by the name of the Lord. We not only want to say we are the church of God. We not only want to say we have been called out. We believe the message of God for this time. We would like to be able to say all of this. But we would also like the Lord to confirm this, so that others hear and see it. Not for my sake, and not for your sake, but God owes it to himself, for the sake of his covenant that he made with us through his blood, that he blesses his people once more, so that all the others see. These people are rightfully called the children of God. These people bear rightfully the name the Church of Jesus Christ. These people are rightfully the people of the Lord. Today, it's all or many who claim it. We would like, as people who we believe have found grace in the sight of God, we want to see once this supernatural experience with our own eyes, so that we rightfully can say we are the people of the Lord. Today, many say it. We are the church. We are and we are the people of the Lord. But God has only one church, only one body, only one program, only one plan, and all who are his possession, they must and will let themselves be placed into this plan. How is it now with us? When we hear these words, what goes on within us? Is there a cry in our soul? Lord, let it be manifested that we are your people and that you are our God. Like in the days of Elijah, a supernatural decision had to be induced to make an end to all to and fro. If the Lord is God, then serve him. And we know that the Lord is God, and therefore we serve him with all our hearts. Fear not. Don't be faint-hearted. Don't be afraid. The Lord has won the battle already. He gave us the victory. He took care for everything. He just wants that we now experience an atmosphere in which the divine can flourish. Such a solidarity with Him and with one another. Such an intimate love into which we are immersed. And in this perfect love of God, the Lord will finish His work with the church. Not in negotiations about God's word or about God, but that He can confirm, here are my people who have heard my word and who believed it. Here are my sons and my daughters who have heard the call. Ye my people, be ye separate, come out of them. Then I will receive you, and I will be Father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters. God's word will be fulfilled in them who received it and on whom it can be confirmed. Let us read from Deuteronomy chapter 30, from verse 6. Deuteronomy 30, from verse 6. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord, and do all His commandments, which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand. What a wonderful word. The Lord will then circumcise the heart. You all know, with the Jewish people, the circumcision is on the body. Here it is about the circumcision of the heart. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul. This the Lord already then emphasized when He was asked, what is the main commandment? His answer was, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul. But this is only possible then when a circumcision took place by the Word and by the Spirit in and on our hearts, that a renewing of the heart could happen by grace. You cannot put new wine in old bottles. Both would spoil. The Lord says, behold, I make all things new, and He starts with your and with my heart. On the redeemed, whose guilt is forgiven, whose sins are atoned, with whom every bill was settled, on them a circumcision of the heart must take place, so that we can love the Lord with all our soul. That it is not only an approval in our heads, but a yes and an amen, an inner connection to God in our hearts, which He could circumcise, so that all wild branches are taken out and the seed of the word can be laid into it, that can bring forth then hundredfold fruit. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord. This was the condition of the early church. She obeyed. She did what the Lord commanded and what He said. And on that, the whole blessing rested. Right at the end, the Lord will have a church as at the beginning, with a circumcision of the heart, that we can really say, He has taken away from us the stony heart. Sometimes believers sell their own grandmother and they say, I love the Lord. This does not exist. A person who sells his grandmother is spiritually dead. A person who was born again feels like Jesus felt. He weeps with those who weep and mourns with them who mourn and rejoices with those who are happy. He is a part of the whole body of Jesus Christ and he can integrate with ease. Then it says here, so wonderfully, for the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers. It was the last part of verse 9. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, for the good of the church. He will rejoice over us for our good. That means when His joy has fully come over us, full gospel, full salvation, full restoration, full word, the full power of God, then the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. If our hearts are circumcised, then we'll put aside all faint-heartedness, all unbelief, and all what may surround us, and say, Lord, we cannot do otherwise but to believe. For faith comes from the Word of God, and we have heard the Word of God. The fruit of the heard Word must come forth. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers. Oh, what deep words of God, that the Lord, on the called out church that was brought back into the land of promise, on his covenant people, once more could have a deep joy. If every service could be a joy for the Lord, in which people can experience His presence, His salvation, His healing, His help, His blessing, taking it home. We are longing for meetings in which God, on us, with us, and through us, comes to His right. We are longing for the moment on which he again have joy on his church, because his church has become one with him through the Word and Spirit. I believe that this condition must come and will come, for this is the promise of the Lord. The circumcision of the heart is necessary for it. Let us read from Deuteronomy 31, verse 7 and 8. Deuteronomy 31, verse 7 and 8. And Moses called unto Joshua, and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that does go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. What a word of God! This is the gospel. This is a strengthening in the faith. And the nice thing is, it is true. It is right. And whatever God has promised for his people, be it in the Old or in the New Testament, it applies forever. After all, he not only promised to be with his people in the Old Testament. Jesus, our Lord, said, I will be with you all the days until the end of the world. And at the end, he will be again the same who he was at the beginning. And at the end, he will do the same what he did at the beginning. This we believe. We are convinced of it. Be strong and of a good courage. If I would say it to you, then you would be afterwards the same as before. But if it is the Word of God that is addressed to us, then it's different. God's Word has the power of God in it. And if we receive God's Word in us, then the Word in us is turned into the power of God. And so we understand what Paul said. The kingdom of God is not in words only, but in the power and demonstration of the Spirit. The word of the cross is to them who get lost foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. Be strong and of good courage. And then these wonderful words, it is the Lord himself who will walk before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Whom shall we fear if the Lord is with us? Of whom shall we be afraid if God walks before us, surrounding us, and is with us? He will not fail thee. Do you all believe it? Believe it very personally. We all need God's help. And he says, I will not fail thee. Today, he wants to help you. Today, he wants to be your help. And whom he helps, he is helped. Whom he saves, he is saved. And whom he heals, he is healed. And whom he shows the way, he knows it. It still continues. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. What a wonderful promise. People get unfaithful. They leave. They go on their own ways. Some disappointment is behind us, and perhaps before us, by people. But God did not disappoint us. A hymn writer sings, "Jesus never disappoints me. Jesus never disappoints me." No one who has put his trust in this evil and restless time in the Lord can be put to shame. Just the contrary, we have a firm hold by the grace of God and are not tossed to and fro like the nations who are without hope, but we have heard the word of the Lord. We believed it. And now he is with us, and he will be with us until the end. Fear not, neither be dismayed. It's written in Job, "What I feared came upon me." Whether we want to believe this or not, behind all the fears is the enemy. Fear of this, fear of that. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. And then comes confidence, then comes faith, then comes trust. Why should we fear something? There are people who are afraid of getting sick, and then they marvel that they got sick. Let us leave everything what is negative out of our thoughts. Let us honor God by faith and trust according to the promises that he has given us. The Lord himself will be with you. He will walk before thee. He will win your battles. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Let us dare from today on by faith and say, "Lord, I thank you for this word. I belong to your people. I'm your possession. Today I have understood that fear, that anxiety, that faint-heartedness, that despondency has hindered and paralyzed me spiritually. From today on, I want to believe you with your help and trust you, and no more looking on the visible, not looking anymore on circumstances, but on the invisible as we would see him." Let us take from the sermon today this offer of grace of God with us, once for all, for everything is ours, what God promised to us. And as then it could be said, "I have given it to you already," although outwardly they didn't have it yet, God said, "I have given it to you already." And now their faith had to set in, and on every spot on which they put their feet, it belonged to them. Every meter, every step, every province, everything belonged to them. By faith, they entered the land of promise. Beloved in the Lord, this is our today's condition. We say and confess that God's word is true and that He fulfilled His promises. By faith, we put now one step before the other. We go from knowledge to knowledge, from clarity to clarity. Now, we want to go from experience to experience. Now we want to see the realization of that what God promised to us by His grace. Let me read from Deuteronomy 33. Deuteronomy 33, verse 29. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency, and thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. A wonderful word. Happy art thou. What happened? God gave His salvation, His grace to His people. Happy art thou, O people of God. And who brought this salvation? Our Lord. Today, salvation has come to this house. And if we would read in the prophets, Isaiah 49, verse 9 probably, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. God brought salvation unto us. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby they can be saved, but only in the name of Jesus. There are people on earth who received salvation, God's salvation, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Happy art thou, Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord. Happy art thou, Church, grace and peace unto all them who found grace and peace in the sight of God. And such people exist. We are part of them. A hymn writer sings, I am also one of them who found grace. Can we all say this? I am also one of them who found grace. Happy am I. I found peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that we all can say it. But even more, He is the shield of thy help. He stands in front of you. He shields you. He protects you. Can we understand this? Our Lord is wonderful. He is faithful. He keeps what He promises. And even more, He is the shield of thy help and the sword of thy excellency. I know only one sword in a spiritual term, and this is the sword of the Spirit. And the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And He is the Word. Hallelujah. He is the sword which gives you the victory. He the shield that protects you. He is your help. He is your strength. He is your life. He is your confidence. He is your everything. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, how high is he exalted after the total humiliation, abasement, reproach and shame, exalted above all heavens, and waits until all the enemies are made his footstool. Thine enemies must render homage to you. Oh, that the word of God, as the sword of the Spirit, could be applied so mightily again. And you all know, Brother Branham had the mighty experience when he suddenly saw how a sword was laid into his right hand. And he said, "What kind of sword is this?" And the voice said, "It is the sword of the king." And he repeats, and didn't repeat precisely, but he said, "The sword of a king." And then came the correction. No, not the sword of a king, but the sword of the King of Kings, that is the Word of God. This divine spiritual sword the Lord laid into our faith hands. But the hands must not hang down and must not tremble. One has to take the sword of the Spirit in the confidence of faith and say, "It is written," and thus use the word of God, and you will see all power of darkness must and has already submitted to God. It is overcome and is defeated. Our task is, by faith, to apply this sword of the Spirit in the right way, never against one another. Some take the word of God and then they bash one another on their heads. That is not for what it is for. The sword of the Spirit is here to fight the battle of faith in the right way. And the battle is not against brothers or sisters. The battle is against the powers of darkness. Many did not yet understand the ABC, but it falls like scales from our eyes. I went into this year with great confidence in the expectation that God will set the course, that he will give grace to recognize what he wants to be done. And I'm also aware of that still some kind of trial and some kind of storm will still come. But one thing I know for sure, that all the trees, not the flowers, the trees, they're also nice flowers in a vase. I'm not speaking of that. I speak of trees that are planted at the riverside. When the storm comes and they are shaken to and fro, then the roots are getting a bit loose and thus can grow even deeper. What is not settled and not grounded, this will be blown away by the wind. May God make people out of us who are under no other influence anymore, but only under the pure divine influence of his word and of his Spirit. People who recognized that he has his people on earth, and this for a specific purpose. I believe that a great task is still be given to us, to give this generation the last offer of grace. Don't you worry. We will not get nervous and will not act hastily. We will wait for the leading of the Holy Spirit. And together we will walk forward. Be of good courage. Fear not. The Lord is with us. We heard His word. We believed it. We carry the word in us. And we will see it fulfilled by His grace. Be of good courage. Be strong. Trust the Lord. Believe what He said. And together we will see it fulfilled. Praise be to the name of the Lord. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Perhaps some are here who did not yet dedicate their life to God. It's not a coincidence that you are here today. The Lord spoke to you. Trust Him. Believe Him. Receive and accept Him. While all heads are bowed and we remain in silent prayer, I would like to ask those who would like to consecrate their life to the Lord, raise briefly your hand and put them down again. God bless you. Somebody else. Actually, we should all do it. Rededicating our life to the Lord. Faithful Lord, with all my heart, I thank you for your precious and holy word. As you did it in the Old Testament, so you do it in the New Testament. There were two special phases, the one of the leading out and the one of the leading in. Faithful Lord, there are two special phases in the New Testament church. The first, in the first generation, at that time, at your first coming. The last, in this last generation. Back then, you started. Now, you finish. Thank you for the blood-bought multitude that was laid out because the Lamb of God was slain, not because of works, so that no one glories, but redeemed I may glorify it, as the German song goes, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Faithful Lord, a covenant was made on Calvary. I thank you for it. The people of your covenant are gathered to hear the words of God, to believe them, and to wait that they are fulfilled. You who have laid out, you also laid in. You go before us. You won already the battle. O Son of David, we thank you for it. O you, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, you have prevailed. We thank you for it. All powers of darkness must be made your footstool. Hallelujah. Back then you said, now the judgment goes forth upon this world. The prince of this world is judged and cast out. Hallelujah. I thank you, you faithful Lord. With this we want to start living now. Faithful Lord, to start living with that what you have done, dealing with it, feeding on it, and feasting on it. Dear Lord, I commit unto you your blood-bought multitude. And beyond that, we want to ask together in these moments that your holy will be done. I lay before you the radio program or whatever shall be done. Almighty God, we don't want to do anything anymore except you command it. We are available for you. You are Lord. Command, and it shall be so. I thank you for all my brothers and for my sisters. In your divine love, we are joined with one another eternally. Faithful Lord, today you showed unto us that you accomplish everything with and through your people. You brought us redemption and salvation. You are our help. You fight our battles and won them already. You, the victor of Calvary, O God, trample Satan under our feet of faith. Let it be manifested that it is true what is written, and that we stand upon the victory ground of Calvary. Hallelujah. Praise, honor, and glory be unto you. You are our salvation, our strength, our life, our confidence. You are all in all. Also our sword, our strength, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. You are the Word made flesh. Faithful Lord, to hear in your body of flesh, to defeat the enemy and to bruise the head of the old serpent and to pull out the sting of death, so that all who believe on you may live although they die. And also such will be there at the end who believe in you and will not die anymore, but who will experience the translation. Hallelujah. You were at the Exodus, you were at the leading in. You have blessed the going out and the going in. Faithful God, we thank you that it has become a holy reality to us. Circumcise now our hearts with a sharp sword of your Spirit. O faithful Lord, do it. Do it now. Create for yourself a holy, a divine, a pure atmosphere of faith among your people, that we may be in great expectation in your presence. Everybody may receive now from you for what he asks for. Now we take you at your word and stand upon the promises which you have given us. Lord of hosts, there is no other God. We thank you for it. You will uphold the victory, and we with you. Hallelujah. Save, heal, deliver, bless, make all things new for the glory and for the praise of your name. Together we glorify the power of your blood, the power of your word, and the power of your Spirit. We thank you that you turn the gospel into the power of God, and that you manifest that we are your people, that the claim is not just made, but that it is legitimized by you and justified, Almighty God. What can we for it, that you have sent your servant and prophet, and that we have heard your word fresh from the throne? Oh, hallelujah! To you, the Lamb of God, that was slain. Praise, honor, and glory from eternity to eternity. We thank you for this afternoon, and we ask you, may we be strengthened, comforted, settled, grounded, full of courage, full of confidence, being strengthened in the faith, go from here, that we could say to one another, the word has comforted me. I was strengthened. Lord, give us grace, also in the conversation with one another, to speak in a faith-supporting way, Lord, that others are helped. For this we are ordained, not to pull down, but to edify one another in the love of God. I thank you for it. Bless all who will hear this stammering sermon, Lord. But you have said, with stammering lips and other tongues I will speak to this people. Lord, it's not the smooth speeches which were nicely formulated. It is your holy and divine speaking in these days through your revealed word. Lord, I thank you for it and praise your wonderful and glorious name, Lord. Before scribes and Pharisees, we may make a fool of ourselves, but not before you and not before your people. For you speak with us in simplicity, and then you reveal yourself in a mighty way. Lord, we thank you for it. Also, the word today will not return void, but it will accomplish for what you have sent it for. By faith, I take it from your faithful Father's hand, that you all despondency, all faint-heartedness, all unbelief, and whatever can creep over us, that you have taken it away from us. Dear Lord, we are all just humans and are so easily surrounded by troubles and problems, by difficulties, paralyzed and pulled down. Faithful Lord, have mercy on us. Place us on higher ground. By faith we follow you, and we thank you for the finished work of redemption on the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah! Full gospel, full salvation, life in abundance. I thank you, and I praise your holy name. Hallelujah. Amen.